Be with her today as she shares your message with us, moving her to speak in such a way that glorifies you. I pray that you would open our minds and hearts so that we may clearly hear your voice and feel your presence surrounding us. Let us remember the gentleness of Christ as you speak to us today through your beloved servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I've entitled the sermon, Remember. Remember, remember, remember. Don't forget. Yarkon Blaypa chose the scripture this morning that we opened with from Psalm 103. Remember, don't forget all of God's benefits. Don't forget what God has done. We've been remembering all week as we've been remembering our loved ones. I don't know, how many of you feel like you're getting old and forgetful? Can't remember, can't remember. Mary, you're so young. Samantha. we work at remembering the important things, whether it's a grocery list or how to drive somewhere or when Tiffany's learning to drive. Yeah, she's now got her driver's permit. So she's driving and I'm sitting in the other side. But as she drives, I want her to remember the things she's been taught, to remember to check her mirrors, to remember to make sure her lights are on, to remember those simple things, right? We want people to remember. This morning, Blaypa and Yarka had MC and MT sing, and they sang in Karen language because you want them to remember their first language, right? You want to teach them. You want them to know about the Karen people and about where they came from. We want people to remember. Remember. And God wants us to remember who we really are, who God really is, who we're called to be. Right? He wants us to remember that. When you read this big story of God, and you read in the Old Testament especially, every time something important happened, God was like, okay, now I want you to remember this. I want you to tell your children about it. And to help you tell them, we're going to set up a special feast, because everybody likes a party. We're going to set up special stone, a special rock that will help us remember. You're going to retell the story every year at Passover because I want you to remember. I was looking up some facts about our memories to prepare for this sermon. And one thing that it said is that science teaches us that, or they've done studies, and if you do not tell the story or tell the memory over and over again, you will forget it. And the more often you tell the memory or the story, the more likely you are to remember it. So you might have stories in your family that every time you get together at Christmas, oh, remember when this and this and this happened. It's been fun, Mary, being married to Bruce, in that the children, Alex, Chris, and Tiffany, have certain stories that I almost feel like I was there now, even though I wasn't a part of their family yet, because they retell the same stories over and over again. Right? Remember when Chris cut Tiffany's hair and hid it in the Spider-Man lunchbox and then lied about it? Remember when so-and-so wrote on the kitchen table and carved somebody else's name? Remember when? And they tell those same stories over and over. I feel like I was there, even though I wasn't. And there were probably hundreds of thousands of other little tiny events that happened in their family's life, but these are the ones they're going to remember, even if they were very little and would not remember it, except that they keep telling the story over and over. And the same is true about God and about God's work in our life. We have to tell the story over and over. We have on our wall the big story of God, right? How God created, you know, all the way through. We retell these stories every Sunday. And I know, you know, if you came to this church when you were little and you heard the same stories in Sunday school, you're like, don't you have a new story to tell? But there's a reason we tell the stories over and over again, because we need to remember. There's a reason we take communion together often, because Jesus said, you need to remember this. Remember. It's important. It's important. in our story or in our scripture today, Peter, usually we hear, you know, in the New Testament, we think of Paul writing most of the letters, but this is from Peter. And in the story from Peter, he wants them to remember who they are. And I want to tell you a little bit who they were. So the Jewish Christians had lived in Jerusalem, and there was a lot of persecution, and the Roman government coming in, and there was a battle, and there was a war, and people had to flee and get out, and they went all over Asia and different places, and then they took with them the story of Jesus, and then more people became Christians in those areas. And Peter is writing this letter to these tiny little house churches that are scattered all over. And they're small, and they're far away from home, and they've started gathering with people from other parts of the world, and they've been teaching about Jesus, but they're small, and they don't feel powerful, and they're far away from Jerusalem and far away from the temple. And it says in the beginning of 1 Peter, if you were to read the very first parts of it, the letter, Peter says, this is a letter from me, Peter. What does Peter mean again? Rock. Remember, Peter's name was Simon. And Jesus said, no, your name, I'm going to rename you. You're the rock. Right? So this is a letter from the rock, from Peter. And he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He knows who he is. He's remembering who he is. And he's writing to you. And he doesn't say, I'm writing to you little tiny churches that don't got much money and you're getting persecuted. No, 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 no. He says, I'm writing to you. You're God's chosen people. And yeah, you're living all over. You're living as foreigners. That's not where you grew up. Okay? You're living as foreigners in all of these different places in Asia. And I want you to remember that God the Father knew you and he chose you long ago. And you're a holy people. You're a set apart people. You're a faithful people. Don't forget that. And you're obedient. And you've been cleaned by the word of God, by the blood of Jesus. That's who you are. Don't forget. And it goes on and on. I didn't put it up on the slide, but Peter goes on to say, praise God. Praise his great mercy because of Jesus, you have a new birth. You have salvation. You have hope. You have hope. You have an inheritance. You are so rich. You might feel like you're little and poor. Oh, if only you could see into the heavenly realms and see that which is around you. You have all the resources of God. His love, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his salvation, his hope, his forgiveness. You are rich. You have an inheritance like nobody's business. Okay? And yeah, life is pretty hard here. You've been suffering. You've been persecuted. There's been people you love that have died, were killed because of their faith. Yeah, it's bad. But realize that this is just temporary. That if you keep your eyes on Jesus, something is going to come. It's like when gold goes through fire, when diamonds are cleaned, it's going to be beautiful what is to come. Hang in there. Hang in there. You have to trust that which you can't see with your eyes. You have to take steps of faith where you're not really sure if there's going to be anything there. But you believe there will be. Remember. And then he goes on and he says, that picture didn't show up too good, but he said, remember that temple back in Jerusalem with those giant, big stones that were so big that people thought that could never be knocked over? Well, it got destroyed in the war. And we know today, right, there's just one part of the wall that's still standing. It's called the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. But that massive, beautiful temple got knocked down. Remember that? And you might feel sad, like, ah, the temple is where we worship God. That's where God's Spirit dwelled. Peter says, no, 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 no. There's a new kind of stone in town, right? It's not that big, massive stone that was built that got knocked over that didn't last, but it's a stone with your name on it, Samantha and Don and Marty and Patoka and Vina and Bruce. You're living stones. You're living stones, and together you're being built into this temple that goes on forever, because, and it's where God's Spirit dwells. And it's eternal. You are living stones. You're being built into this spiritual house. Remember, 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 remember. Remember that you are who God says you are. Do you remember the other name for the enemy? What do we call the enemy of God? And what is the meaning of Satan? The deceiver, right? The one who lies. So the father of lies is going to try to tell you something other than what God says you are and what Peter wants them to remember. The father of lies is going to say, you are small. Look at you. There's hardly anybody in your pews here. What in the world? You got, never mind. You got no power. You got nothing. You got no money. What? You got some marbles, right? That's what the enemy will say. But God says, and said to those tiny churches in Asia all those years ago, and says to us, oh, no, no, no. You're chosen. You're royal. You're holy. You're treasured. You belong to me. You are, yeah, You're foreigners and strangers in this land. This isn't your home. But you have something that everybody else needs that lives here. It's this amazing gift. Your purpose is to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into this wonderful light. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. This is who God says you are. Now, all throughout 1 Peter, Peter uses a lot of Old Testament scriptures to remind them of the truth that God, the same God that Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Sarah, the same God is who they worship. And the same God who made promises and who made a covenant is who they worship. And at the very end of our scripture this morning, he has a reference that if you weren't really studying, you wouldn't know what it was. You have to go back and look. And it's a reference to the story of Hosea and Gomer. Do you know who Hosea is? Anybody know who Hosea is? Hosea. I don't know. What is Hosea? Hosea in, how would you say that in Korean? Hosea. Just say Hosea. Same. Easy. Okay. Hosea. So Hosea was a prophet, right? And usually we think of prophets as those who speak for God. But sometimes God had them like actually act out the story, right? And Hosea, by his life, I mean, of all the prophets, I feel the worst for Hosea. Because what God asked him to do is incredibly hard. Hosea was called to act out in his marriage with his children the story of how God was relating to the children of Israel. So you know how God had a covenant, a promise with the children of Israel. They were supposed to be faithful to God and God would be faithful to them. They weren't very faithful to God. And God had to keep going after them and taking them back. So God wanted like a picture, and Hosea was willing to carry out that picture. So God had Hosea marry someone who was not faithful to him, who cheated on him, who he actually had to keep going after her and bringing her back and forgiving her, who he had to actually pay money to buy her back in the story because she kept forgetting who would come after her and care for her because other men would treat her very badly and Hosea would come and he would take her back. I can't imagine that story. Hosea and Gomer had three children. And you know, God often uses names in Scripture to teach things. And the names of those children each had a meaning. And Gomer has a son, and his name is Lo-Ami. And that means, not my people, not my son, not my child. Maybe it actually wasn't Hosea's child, I don't know, because she was cheating on him. Ah, that's hard. And Gomer had a daughter, and that daughter's name was Lo-Ruhamah, which means, I don't love you. I don't feel any compassion towards you. I don't pity you. I don't show you mercy. That's what it means. And if you, to the next slide. But just as God always does, and just as Hosea did, God comes back and draws those of us who have sinned and who have turned away from God and who have tried other ways instead of following the way of God. And God says in Hosea, one day I will make a covenant. And it goes on to describe the covenant. And it reminds us of heaven, right? It's this beautiful pictures where the animals will not hurt us, where there's a good relationship between all the animals and the people, where everyone lives in peace and safety, where no one is fighting anymore. It's a beautiful picture of what God desires, right? So I don't know. It means we're all going to be vegetarians, Melky. All right. Melky likes meat. You can talk to him about it. So, and then he says, I will make you my wife forever. And I will be faithful to you. And then look what he says. I will show to those I called not loved, right? The daughter. And I will show to those who I called not my people, the son. They will become people. They will become my people. They will become loved and accepted. And they will be shown mercy. This is all back in the prophet Hosea's teaching. And then Peter takes that. And in our scripture this morning, he says, once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. It's coming from the story of Hosea and Gomer. It's coming from God's big story where people continually turn away from God and God is always bringing them back. A lot of people love the story that Jesus told, the prodigal son. The story of Hosea and Gomer is kind of like the Old Testament version of the prodigal son, where Hosea keeps inviting her back. This is the kind of God we serve who says, No. The world might call you all kinds of names and say you're worthless, you're no good, you don't deserve it, you belong here, you're cast off, you're no good. I am about bringing in those whom everybody else says are worthless. And I'm about caring for them and showing them compassion. Remember who you are. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are set apart for God's good work. You are the people that will point other people to Jesus. You are living stones in this beautiful temple that God is building for His glory, where His Spirit lives. At Whitehall, before I came, we had a vision statement, and it was, we are to be the people of God, inviting others to know God. That's what this scripture also teaches, right? Be the people that are chosen and set apart, but declare God's praises in such a way that everybody else knows who God is. We're inviting others to know Him. Remember, you are who God says you are. You're chosen, you're royal, you're living stones, you're a golden treasure, you're set apart for God's work. You have the job of sharing God's good news with all the people.
God has made a covenant with you. And God's going to keep his covenant. The invitation is, and Peter believes, and I think the great cloud of witnesses is counting on it, that we're going to live in to who we are called to be. We're going to remember, and we're going to live in. So in 2 weeks, we're going to look at this scripture again, and we're going to invite people to sign our yearly covenant. And we do this every year as a reminder so that we remember. You have that slide up? No, the slide that I sent in the email. So if you look around our sanctuary, you will see in the back the tree where people put their thumbprints. And in the very, very back, you will see a scroll where we signed. And over here, you will see a weaving where we wove strands in and we all signed. And up front, this is last year's covenant. We put our names on the birds and we hung them. And, yeah. And this year, we are going to do it again in 2 weeks. And as Danilo showed the children, our youth have been working on this crazy quilt. Many fabrics are in a crazy quilt, and they're all different shapes and all different sizes. That's how crazy quilts are made. And I thought, our worship planning committee thought, that's a perfect illustration of Whitehall Mennonite Church. We're kind of crazy. We're all different. But we are brought together because of Jesus. And we are stitched together in Christ, is what it will say on the cross when they are done painting it. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to ask you again these questions. This is, I think it says it in Corinne. I'm trusting it says that it might be hard to read such small print. But it says, will you say yes again to following Jesus, to loving God with your whole heart and obeying his voice? And will you say yes again to being the people of God with everyone else in the crazy quilt? Okay? Will you commit to being a part of this, to coming to regular worship, to prayer and to Bible study and to growing in your own faith and growing together as this living temple, these living stones, this body of Christ? Will you do this? The next slide. And I put up there also our vision statement to be the people of God, inviting others to know God. And our commitment is that Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our lives, and reconciliation is the center of our work. So you have several weeks to pray and to think about, do we say yes again? If you've already been baptized, you're recommitting yourself to your baptismal vows. If you haven't yet been baptized, you're saying, I still want to be a part of this group, and I want to keep following Jesus, and I want to learn more about him. And then in 2 weeks, we will sign the covenant. And we'll hang it up as a way to remember, to tell the story of who we are and who God is, for God's glory. Amen.
I think I've heard Pastor Rose say it a couple different times.